From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, this is Justin Bergman, one of the deputy editors on the Politics and Society section at The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan.
Hi, Justin.
Michelle, the pressure is building on the Nationals to agree to the net zero emissions target for 2050. Josh Frydenberg has made the case for it, and as Trent Zimmerman put it on RN Breakfast this morning, the tide is already shifting in this direction globally. How do you see this playing out in the coming weeks? Is there any way the Nats can continue to hold out?
That's the big question. We do know, of course, that Scott Morrison's going to try as hard as possible to sign up to this target for the Glasgow conference. He's just returned from the United States. He's been under pressure from Joe Biden, from Boris Johnson to improve Australia's ambition on climate. But to sign up to the target, he has to get the Nats across the line. Now, Barnaby Joyce is reluctantly willing to do a deal, but the Nats as a party, even though they're a very small party, of course, 21 members, but they are the powerful junior partner in the coalition, and as a party, they are frankly all over the place on this issue. They go from very strong opponents of the net zero target, like Matt Canavan, to those around Barnaby Joyce who would like to sign up, and some what we might call critics and or worse of Barnaby Joyce, like the man he displaced, Michael McCormack, and Darren Chester, the Victorian National he sacked from the front bench, who are very much in the 2050 camp. So there's a diversity of view, there's a diversity of intensity of view as well, if you like.
And what will it take to persuade those who are most adamantly opposed to this target, like Matt Canavan, who you mentioned, who says he's dead set against it? What kind of deal is Barnaby Joyce looking for that will appease this element of the party?
I think the very hardliners like Matt Canavan won't be appeased. They simply think the whole notion of the net zero target is a nonsense, is counterproductive for Australia as a fossil fuel producer, is bad for the National Party in its seats. But Barnaby Joyce will really be looking for majority opinion in the National Party room. And what that will take is a demonstration that regional Australia won't be worse off with a pathway to net zero. Plus, it will take a sweetener or sweeteners in terms of funding for whatever the National Party wants or whatever Scott Morrison feels can be given to them. What that is not clear at the moment. But this will cost a lot of money one way or another to get the majority of the Nats across the line.
And if this does happen, if the Nats do accept a deal, how will this play out politically in their electorates? Is there any concern about how voters will react, especially given how vocal some of the Nats have been in quote unquote defending their communities at all costs?
That is a big question, because in a number of these seats in Queensland, of course, the Nats have been running the line that the climate change threat is exaggerated, that doing a pathway to net zero will cost jobs in the coal industry, in mining. And so to do something of a U-turn, to say, oh, well, we can do this and we can find a way to preserve jobs or more importantly, to transition the workers to other jobs is quite difficult in electoral terms for them. And they recognise this and they do have some vulnerable seats in Queensland. So they have a real worry about this. But on the other hand, of course, the government as a whole is also under pressure in the southern seats where people want progress on climate change policy. And this is a dilemma that Labor faced at the last election. And this time the dilemma is being faced by the coalition. And we're seeing this in the argument that is now raging. For example, Cabinet Minister, Nationals Cabinet Minister Bridget McKenzie today was in the Financial Review with an article which was criticising some of those Liberals in the leafy seat. She said, for example, it's easy for the member for Kooyong, and that would be Josh Frydenberg, or the member for Wentworth, and that's Dave Sharma, to publicly embrace a net zero target before the government has a position, because there would be next to zero real impact on the way of life of their affluent constituents. So you see, there's a real divide between the southern seats and these Queensland northern seats that the Nationals are so worried about. And I think it's really interesting that in these battles, the Nationals, even those on the front bench, are coming out swinging. There's no sense of restraint because of their ministers. You've got Bridget McKenzie criticising Josh Frydenberg. You've got the Resources Minister, Keith Pitt, expressing great doubts about net zero. It really is a free-for-all fight at the moment.
And finally, Michelle, Prime Minister Scott Morrison is still deciding whether he'll attend the Glasgow Climate Conference in person. Does he really need to be there in person? And what are the costs of him not attending?
If he can't get a deal, and I think he's so determined that in the end he will prevail by hook or by crook, but if he couldn't get a deal, then he wouldn't want to be at Glasgow because Australia really would be very much on the back foot, would be pilloried by other countries. Assuming he gets a deal and he has a policy, then really it's a toss-up for him. I don't think it does him much good to be at Glasgow, even if he goes with a fairly respectable position, because everyone knows that Australia has been dragged to that position. And I think that actually being physically present is not going to play particularly strongly for him domestically, and that's what he cares about in the run-up to the election. It'll be the policy itself rather than whether he's at Glasgow or not. But I think that the more important consideration in his mind will be the local COVID situation. Now, we are expecting, as the country opens in the next few weeks, that it'll be a fairly rough time, that case numbers will rise, that hospitalisation will rise, and deaths will rise. Now, I think that if he's out of the country for some of that period when we are opening up and the situation is quite uncertain, that is very tricky for him. And then remember, when he got back, he would have to isolate for a couple of weeks, so he would be in sort of semi-action, as it were, only then. And therefore, I think, given that uncertainty, he will regard it more important to be on the spot in Australia than at Glasgow if things look to be in a precarious situation here. There is another complication, and that is that there's a G20 meeting before the Glasgow meeting. So if he missed Glasgow, he'd presumably have to miss the G20 as well. But we are running into the end of the year, to parliamentary sittings, to planning for next year's election. So time out of the country can be a risky time.
Thanks, Michelle. Great to chat with you as always.
Thanks, Justin.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.